Truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Hello, church. That's how Father Dan called all of us a couple of weeks ago when he introduced the New Testament course he and Deacon Joe are planning to teach this fall. That is right. We are church. You know, I had such a hard time to come up with a title for today's sermon, let alone what should I preach today on this first Sunday we are all back from our summer recess. First, I thought the title should be Welcome Back, Church. Then, seeing all that are happening around the world today, namely the Hurricane Harvey and the devastation in Houston, historic flooding in South Asia, the place where I come from, where 1/5 of the world's population lives, destruction caused by Category 5 Hurricane Irma on the islands and happening as we speak right now in Florida, a looming ethnic cleansing against a million or so Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar, the belligerent behavior of Kim Jong-un of North Korea testing hydrogen bomb, prompting US and our allies to react and to take actions. As if all these things are not enough, in the middle of all this is the administration's lifting of the protection called DACA, making 800,000 or so young people stateless. This made me think that I should talk about where God is in all this. Hence the title for today's sermon, the bulletin, Awareness of God's Presence. But I still would like to go back to Father Dan's way of addressing the church, hello church, and somehow incorporate that into the title of today's sermon, which I revised it as, We Are the Church. Well, you may wonder what is so big deal about this thing that we call church. Well, growing up in India as a Marthoma Christian, one of the things that was not negotiable for us was going to church on Sundays. There is no ifs and buts about it. Like it or not, we went to church. Whenever, as a young person, I rebelled against this practice, my father would say, no, my son, there is no choice about that for us. Church is who we are. We are church. You know, church is unique. It is not an organization either for profit or not for profit. It is not a club or a business, though sometimes it was disguised as such by vested interests. Jesus never founded anything even remotely resembling those things. In fact, Jesus crusaded against any attempts to organize religion around those models. Church is not an organization, but it is an organism. It is an organism, a living entity. It is the body of Christ. It is the body of the people of God, formed from the blood and water poured out from the side of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Church is the people, ecclesia. In Greek, it is called the called out and received into a body through the waters of baptism, and formed in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and fed by the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the breaking of bread. This is what church is. They are called ecclesia, the called out, the household of God, or in Greek, oikos. For many, oikos is a brand yogurt, right? In our monthly newsletter in NET, I talked about oikos. It's a Greek for the English word household. It's an important concept for the ancient Greeks. This all-encompassing Greek concept of household is the one that is used in the New Testament to describe church, the household of God, the oikos of God. After each baptism, we welcome the newly baptized into church by saying, "We receive you into the household of God." Human household is a complex organism where loyalty, self-sacrifice, and mutual acceptance are the norm, not to mention love and commitment. The flesh and blood organism of human household serves as the model for the church. Today's gospel lesson, found in the middle of Matthew chapter 18, is a discourse on Christian church. These verses for today provide a glimpse of how the early church dealt with the painful issue of determining when dissent becomes disruption that requires a decisive action. In the spirit of forgiveness and reconciliation, the followers of Jesus are called to honor the command to love one another, yet also hold accountable those whose behavior threatens the fabric of Christian church. The point of painstaking procedure described in our gospel is to provide the several opportunities of repentance and reconciliation in order to maintain the well-being and the unity of the all-important church. Jesus bestows, after talking about Jesus, bestows the authority to the church, which we recall previously given to Peter, by saying, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven," meaning what we do and what we say really, really matters. In other words, whatever the church does is so very important. And it has to be, we have to be careful and about its importance. In conclusion, Jesus offers, at the end of this today's gospel, Jesus says, "For there, where there are two or three gathered in my name, I am there among them." So just as Jesus was present in the early Christian community, like the Matthean community, Jesus is present among us. Jesus is here. Jesus is right here with us in this place at this time. So don't let us not take coming to church, attending church on a weekly basis lightly. It is an important thing. It is part of our DNA. Anything other than that we do really, you know, is not in connection with our identity. This coming to church and being part of this practicing community of faith is an important aspect of being a Christian, our identity. Barbara Brown Taylor, a noted preacher and author, says, "Our life together is the chief means God has chosen for being with us. And it is of ultimate importance to God. Our life together is the place where we are comforted and confronted, tested and redeemed by God through one another. It's a place where we come to know God or to flee from God's presence, depending upon how we come to know or flee from one another. Perhaps My father didn't know any of these things about the church when he insisted that going to church was not an option for us. We are church, and God is present among us, both in the summer when we were a small church, or now when we are all back together in church. It takes only two or three for God to be among us. In the Jewish tradition, it is 10. So it is brought down to two or three. So we can take rest, you know, well, there may be some two or three other people will go, and I don't have to be there, right? No, it doesn't work that way. For wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. So we ask where God is in all this, if God is present with us. Where is God in the hurricanes? Where is God in the earthquake? Where is God when ethnic minorities are excluded and driven out? Where is God in all the nuclear saber rattling happening today? Where is God when the vulnerable in our society is told that they are no longer welcome here, or when the dreamers' dreams are crushed? Where is God? When two or three are gathered as church, Jesus said, I am there among them. Not only God is in our midst, God has also given us the authority to act. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It is through us, the church, God is present and active in our broken world. In our broken world of storms and earthquakes and wars and ethnic cleansing and exclusion. God's answer to all this is church. The called out, the household of God, who are blessed with the promise and his presence to go out into the world in love. As we heard this morning from Paul in Romans. When we are writing a check for the relief efforts in the hurricane-ravaged areas, know that Jesus is there with you. When we make decision to support the ministries of our church, Jesus is right there with us. When we question whether to speak up or stay silent on important issues affecting our lives and our neighbors, let us know that Jesus is there with us. When we are discussing our vision, our mission, and our future, let us all know that God is present with us. And let not Jesus think he is not needed anymore. He is there. What would Jesus think when all the decisions that we make, all our activities, all our actions, what would Jesus think? Would Jesus approve by his presence in our midst? Amen.